Isaiah chapter 53, again, let's start from there. We are going to use that one today to begin to round up the things that we have been saying concerning the work of Christ. Even though every other thing in our lives is centered around the work of Christ, we should never forget that. You know, one of the things I found out, let me just quickly say this, is I was talking with my wife today, something led to it. You know, Christians have gotten caught up in their own works. Did you hear what I said? They have gotten what? Caught up in their own works. They want to do things by their own power. You know, I was meditating about it. They came to Jesus and they said, "What must we do to work the works of God?" He said what? He said, "Believe in him whom the Lord has sent." That is, faith is what Jesus demanded. Therefore, as a preacher, listen to this. As a preacher, your duty is to give people something to believe, not another thing to do. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Your life as a believer should be, that's why you're called a believer. Do you understand what I'm saying? You must seek constantly to know what to believe. When I was a young Christian, if you preached a message and you had not told me what to do, I felt like you had not preached. As I began to mature in learning, I realized that no, it is not doing, it is believing. Doing is a sign, are you getting my point, of what you have believed. The primary thing is not the doing. Let me say it again, I know it offends people. You cannot give to God to get from him. Let me say it again, it offends people. All the pledges you make so that God will do something for you, you are wasting your time. They came to Jesus. He asked, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" That's his question. It is not, "What have you done for God lately that God may do something for you?" All he asked is this, or was this, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" That was the question he asked them. What we think God is asking is, "What have you done that I should do back for you?" No. The question is, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" A man came to him also. He said, "If you can do anything." Jesus said, "If I can do anything." No. It's if you can believe. That's why, you know, I've been telling you over the last few weeks, I'm not even trying to tell you what to do. I just want you to know your position in life. That is, your position in life in Christ. Your life can never be defined by any other thing apart from what God made you to be in Christ Jesus. I hope you believe that. So what's all our learning in the last few weeks? Trying to understand what really Christ did that I should believe that thing. I want to be aware of what it is that I am supposed to believe as the work of Christ on my behalf. I want to get to that today. Also, fully understand again that it was on your behalf, it was on my behalf, not on behalf of himself. He did nothing. He did not gain anything from everything that he did. Can you believe is a question. I told my wife again this morning as we were just discussing in the house. I said, "Listen, it's so true. I've become more persuaded of it as I've been teaching it and learning it. That really, a Christian, really, a true believer does not even have to get up in the morning before he prospers." I mean it like that. But except that we know that life is an assignment and we become unprofitable servants. Please, you are following my point. If we don't get up and go and fulfill the reason why God gave us life, it's not about money. For us, all the work we do is about purpose. How do we prosper in life? It's by what we believe. How do we make it in life? What have you believed? Everything we do is to fulfill an assignment. It's to have the character of God manifested through us for people to see. That's every other thing. If it is a matter of, will I go far in life? Will I succeed? You don't, listen, like it's like going to school. People say, go to school, study a good course, and then you get a good job. That's not Christianity. Why do we go to school as Christians? We have to learn. Education is important. The whole of today, I saw my wife with the children sitting down, one of the small ones, carve it here, write it from here to here. And I said, why are they going through all of this? than somebody still learning to write. Because he has to be able to communicate. He's still small now, but he has to grow and be able to communicate. He's not doing that so that one day he'll be rich. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? So, as believers, it's not, we're not going to school. So like, which course are you studying? Will you get a job with that kind of course? You don't need a job. You will create a job. And listen, don't ever hang your hope, I keep on saying it, on material things. When I was a child, you had to be a civil engineer or you're dead meat. By the time I grew up, became an adult, you had to be an electronic engineer in that area. Because that was the reigning thing. Then they fine-tuned it to computer engineering. Look, listen. The greatest men in the world were none of the above. A lot of them walked away from school. Listen, as believers, we understand that. What am I going to explain? What dictates what your life will be is what you have believed. God has provided everything. Peter said like this, everything that has to do with power and godliness. Everything you need in this life to succeed, you understand? God has provided it. The amount of it that manifests in your life is the amount of it you can discover and believe. I was told my wife that even confession, you know, confess the word. It's not a mechanical thing for Christians. Make sure you confess so. No. It's a spirit of faith. If you believe it, you will say it. It's not wake up in the morning. Have you confessed today? Yeah, face the sun. Say, today, good is coming. Good is coming. That's not Christianity. That's mysticism. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
Yes. That's spiritualism. You want to control good that's coming today. I speak to today. Good is coming. Good is coming. Good is coming. Yes, good will come today and tomorrow and the day after. After that, I'll confess more good to come. That's not Christianity. I was showing my wife today. I said, listen, do you know Christianity? All we are supposed to confess is the word of God. I come to tell you again today, it is unnecessary to confess, I have the car, 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 it is red, it's coming, it's black, it is tall, it's unnecessary. What did I say? It's what the teacher says, we say it's faith. It's not faith. That is why people confuse Christianity. Those days when men began to preach the word of faith, they thought they were preaching Eastern religion because people confused, because the way we spoke it, they begin to say it, begin to say this, begin to say that. The same thing the Guru Maharajis do. Christianity is different. We don't confess what we want. As for our desires, we make petitions concerning them. We don't confess about them. Please, you must understand this. So what I say? No. You confess the word. The one I tell Christians all the time is this. Instead of shouting, I have the car. I have the car. Just wake up in the morning and say, no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's good enough. In fact, the best of them, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let me say what I was telling my wife today. I said, you can't. Okay, I gave an illustration. Assume you want a car. Let's take a car as an example now. And you pray to the Lord that, I know I told you about purifying your motives and making sure you know what you want. Like one of my friends said the other day that I don't like Jeeps and all of that. I like cars. So he said, Lord, I like a car. I don't want a Jeep. I want a car. I don't want a bicycle. I want a car. You know what I'm saying? This is exactly what I want. Now, you describe something that's not too big, doesn't consume too much. You need describing it. Now, maybe in your mind, you now say, the Lord, listen, what is perfect for me, the way I've looked at everything, is something like a Honda Accord. People say, draw a Honda Accord on the wall. As I say, I receive it, I receive it. I'm telling you today, this is my teaching from the word of God. It's not necessary. What did I say? Let your request be known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. Now, he said, well, what should I do about the car? Anytime it comes to mind, remember the scripture I said, no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. That day you may come out, you won't find a Honda Accord. You find a car they had not made the day he started praying, which is decided to manufacture after you finish praying. Let me give it a name. Or let's say that day you come out, you see the latest model Toyota Camry as an example. And it fulfills everything that you ever wanted. Maybe God even steps up beyond the level you thought about. Are you getting what I'm saying? Has he answered your prayer? If that happens, will he have answered the prayer? So if I say, I confess, it's a Honda, it's unnecessary. You see, these are the pressures Christians put themselves through unnecessarily. I say to you again today, your confession is the word of God. Stop making confession about you. A motor car. It's unnecessary. Make petitions about those things. And say things like, I have all my needs met in Christ Jesus. There are times you are confessing for money. God will answer that prayer by removing the need for the money. I don't know what I get to say. I need to pay rent. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I confess I have it. 200,000. I have it now. 200,000, you are coming. You are coming. You are coming by force. You are coming. And the next day, the Lord says, send somebody. Assuming you pray the prayer properly. And the Lord says, somebody say, you are looking for, you want to pay rent? You see like this house? They show you one house bigger than the one you had imagined. And they say, look, you don't have to pay anything. The man who built this house, he lives in America. He just wants a responsible man to stay in this particular bungalow so that the whole complex will be well taken care of. I know you. If I tell him that you're a responsible man, he will believe me. Are you interested? You are guaranteed 5 years. You don't have to pay rent here. Has he given you 200,000 naira? Much more. But if you waste your whole time confessing, I have 20,000, I have 20,000 money to go and give the landlord, I have 20,000, that is my portion, it's my portion. God said, no, supplying your needs is my duty. What you need is where to stay and be comfortable. Eh? No problem. So you pray, let your request be known to God. Then the peace of God will guard your heart. Remember, peace is not just, and there's no trouble. It starts releasing favors in your direction. Sometimes it brings 200,000. Sometimes he brings half a million and takes to a more expensive house and says, pay. I don't know what I get my point. Other times he says, you don't need the money, you don't need it. Let me give you a house you don't have to pay for. Or sometimes he says, look, from now on, this house is your own. Now, what I've said up to now, all right, is simply this. That what we need as believers is to know what to believe, all right? And every other thing we do in life is a reflection of what we believe. Our confessions are reflections of what we believe. We're not trying to confess those things so as to make something happen. We are saying them because they are the expressions of our faith. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So he said, because he has said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. Therefore, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. There is nothing that anybody will do to me. I'm saying this to you again. The primary job of the believer is to believe. I hope you understood that. I hope you understood it. All right, if you have your Bibles, I said you should open somewhere. All right, let's go back there. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Now, we've been reading this one for a while. It's, we're talking about the work of Christ, the things that Jesus did for us. Again, because of time, let me just get down to the area where we really need today. I will start from verse 5. He has said some things about the Lord and all of that. In fact, let's just start from verse 3, all right? But I'll rush it. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. He said, surely our griefs he bore, he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Let's go to verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Now he described the things that happened to him. Now seen in verse 10, he says, the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. He said, now notice from here, which is very relevant to our teaching for today. I began it last time. He said, if he will render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Now, please follow this. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it, that is the good pleasure of the Lord, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. That is, he will become acceptable with God when their sins have been removed by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Verse 12 says, therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
Say it again.
Therefore.
Say it again.
Therefore.
He said, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong. Because he poured himself to death, out to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many, and interceded for the transgressors. God said here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically, that there were things he did which we have been explaining for some time. He bore our sins. He went to the cross. Last time I explained it, that what you saw, God bless Mel Gibson for bringing that thing to light. God bless Mel Gibson for making it good for us, easy for us to relate with that work that Jesus did. But every time you saw, those things you saw, they were true. You understand? They really happened. It's not just film. In fact, I suspect it was worse. Are you getting my point? Because at the point in time, they couldn't recognize him anymore, just like you saw in that film, and maybe worse. And I said last time that it was a manifestation of a spiritual thing. It was not that thing you are seeing physically that was the issue. It was as a transaction for your problems, all right, were going on. How much would they pay for your premature death to be ended? You understand? Your failure in life, my sickness, my confusion, my mental instability, all these problems. What will it cost for them to be removed? As they will agree on the price, and as Jesus will pay for them, in the physical, it manifests as a lash from the stroke, the flagellation of the Romans, all right? If I can't use simple English, let me use big one to get the point across, all right? So as they are beating him, what you are seeing is a physical manifestation of the payment that's been made by the power of his life for your deliverance. What we are seeing is a physical manifestation of how the ancestral curses in our lives have been removed. Now, what was he doing? He was making a payment, all right, for our sins. He was removing our troubles. It was a chastisement that brought our peace. And that word peace is not just absence of troubles. It's the power of God to prosper. It is the grace of God manifesting in your life. I said before, those things are not free. God doesn't forgive freely. He does not. Somebody pays. But forgiveness appears free to us now, because Jesus paid. Are you getting my point? Forgiveness is not free, because the sin that men commit, they are spiritual forces that are released. So they must be stopped. Their effects must be reversed. So when God says, I'm forgiving a sin, what it means is that I'm paying the price to make the corrections for the things that the sin puts into error. You are getting what I'm trying to say there. So Jesus did all of these things. And what he was doing, it was doing the will of God. It was serving the purpose of God. And the Bible now says, this is what I'm getting to. He said, because he did all of this, because he bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors, he said, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great. Now, quickly open to the book of Philippians chapter 2. I want to read that one also to explain something about this. The book of Philippians chapter 2. Please now follow me. Remember, what I'm doing is to get us informed. And everything you are hearing, what are you supposed to do with them? I didn't hear you. Okay, I heard you. I didn't hear you loud enough. All right. Just be soaking them in as they are coming forth. I didn't say go out there and go and look for what to do with it. No. Just let it soak into you. Know that you are not a sinner. Know that your problems have been removed by the power of the blood of Jesus. Know that nobody is superior to you. Know that money is not your Lord. You must understand that. A joke was cracked on a chat group that I belong to. My wife and I were reading it. And somebody said that if they offered you a contract of $300 million and you get the news the morning of your wedding, they say, come immediately. Say, what will you do? I answered. I said, if it's the blessing of God, it can wait till tomorrow. If it cannot wait, it's not my own. You should have seen the kind of arguments we were giving. You only owe your wife explanation. If your life changes, everybody will understand. I say, you see, this is what they call worship of mammon. They say, are you sure that the money was not sent by God? Because, you know, I said that if it's sent by God, it can wait you tomorrow. Sure. I say, if the marriage was sent by God, it will also wait you tomorrow. I say, all of this because you worship money. That's all. You gather everybody from all over the world, you know what I mean, for a wedding. Then because of money, I say, listen, the answer is that everything in life is a test. As I would declare that one is a test from above and I must not fail it. You must understand, $300 million dashed to you does not guarantee anything. The happiness will last for a week or two. Then you know why Mike Tyson is broke currently.
You will know. These are men who box and made over $300 million boxing. They are broke. Whitney Houston died broke, in case you do not know. Michael Jackson couldn't buy the house he wanted before he died. You sit down there, think that money is everything. Remember what I quoted before? That the richest man in the world at the time, his son declared money was a curse to our family. Don't let it swear you. And I meant, he says, because they have not offered it to you. I like one thing my wife said, I told somebody. Say, ah, that's tempting. No? I said, yeah, that's why it's called temptation. And your duty as a Christian is to overcome it. Listen, by the power of the blood of Jesus, money is not your Lord. What did I say? Money is not my Lord. Say it. You are not worshipping it. You have prospered. You know, when people see things like that, you know, the idea is that, see blessing, opportunity. I've said this before. Opportunity comes but once. It's not the gospel of a man that is blessed. Only sinners say that. This opportunity comes but once. It's a lie. What did I say?
It's a lie.
Opportunity comes once and again until I finally lock into the one that is mine. At the appropriate time, it will keep coming back as long as my heart is right with God. And if one opportunity goes, another one replaces it. He takes away the first opportunity that he might establish the second opportunity. And the glory of the second opportunity shall be greater than that of the first opportunity. May you get to a place in life that nobody can harass you with material things. They said, if only you are around. I said, if I was not around, it means it was not mine. My wife will never become your own because I traveled. Have you noticed?
Yes.
You go and meet Akinlu. I said, where's daddy? I haven't seen him for the last 2 weeks. He's not in town. I said, now, you are my son. I said, why? The daddy that traveled shall come back. Is that not so? Don't ever forget, your blessing has your name on it. Blessings are commanded. God said to Elijah, go to this particular place. I have commanded one widow, not two, not three widows, not four, not any widow that will sow into your life. I have commanded a widow there to take care of you. Elijah came with a blessing for that widow. It was not the first widow that gave her an offering, that gave him an offering, that collected the blessing. It was that woman's own. Let us assume he got there. And the woman had gone to the neighbor's house to go and beg for something. What do you think he would have done? He would have waited. And when Samuel got to the house of Jesse, God said, go and anoint for me a king there. Was David at home? Everybody queued up for the blessing of David. It didn't fall on them. They all queued up. They came with their degrees. Look at the size of my chest and my height. And my ability to war. I'm a captain in Saul's army. They came with their degrees, their qualifications, to collect the blessing that belonged to David. Did the oil flow? It didn't flow. Everybody that was qualified came. But they say it's not about qualification. It is about preordination and commandment. Are you getting my point? There is a young boy that was sent to go and anoint. Listen, even Samuel was confused because he said, okay, come, are these all your children? Because since I became a prophet, that voice I heard has never failed me. Are these all your children? And the guy said, by the wife I married, yes. The correct wife, yes. But after my wife stopped having children, one day, now mistake. That they gave me drink. They said it was ordinary juice. Now I drink and now I drunk. Oga prophet, it was not my fault. Prophet Samuel said, do you have other children? Yes, there's one small boy. It's not the same mother. Don't let anybody know. What I'm telling you is not a joke. I don't mean that as a joke. Maybe the way Samuel, I'm saying that Jesse said it may be a joke. But that the fact behind it is not a joke. I don't mean as a joke. I don't believe he was born of the same mother. I don't believe he married his mother. I'm telling you. He was not qualified. When they called his sons, they did not call him. If there was not a problem, why didn't they call him? Say, gather for me all your sons. Why did they not call him? Why did the prophet have to make inquiry? There must have been something out of order. And listen, some people will argue about this, but first time I heard it, I wondered too. But after some time, I believed it. When David said, in sin did my mother conceive me, it was literal. It was literal. But the blessing was his own. The voice of God did not allow Samuel to pour it. He said, go and send for that boy. Go and call him for me. When he arrived, he was a small boy. The Bible says he was of a handsome countenance and ruddy. Now, people look at that and say, he means the boy was fine. No. You see, we miss the context. The context was as to contrasting with warriors. You get my point? It was not a positive qualification. It was a negative qualification. It wasn't a man when the boy showed up, Medishi, fine guy, my God. No. It was that all his brothers were tough. He was soft. That was the point. All his brothers had been to war. He was only following sheep. All his brothers used to do fencing, you know, fight with sword for sport. Him go, they play guitar. When boys are wrestling, he's singing. No, you must get that point. They were not trying to describe, oh, when he came in, he was well-groomed, he was well-dressed. Oh, praise God. Anywhere you are going somewhere for appointment, make sure you are well-dressed. Make sure your beard is correct. Make sure your hair is well-shaved. Make sure your perfume is smelling nice. Nonsense. What they said concerning David was that he was not a tough guy. He was pepperless. So the guy said, this is the king. And God said, arise. Anoint him. For that is he. You are getting my point?
Yes.
Your blessing is your own. What did I say?
My
it has nothing to do with your degree. Say, if only he had that concrete upper in petroleum engineering by now. No. Listen, most people that were second class uppers in petroleum engineering work for men that don't understand the meaning of second class upper. You are blessed.
Amen.
I said you are blessed.
Amen.
Why am I talking about all of this? We must understand that these things are ours simply because Jesus paid for them. Not because we qualified for them. That's why I have to talk about David again. They are ours. Not because we qualified for them, but because Jesus paid for them. And I'm saying to you again, you are not inferior to anybody. What did I say?
I'm not inferior to anybody.
Please, let the answer, just believe it. Just believe it. What did I say?
Just believe it.
Just believe it. Just believe it. I'm not saying go and be fighting people. I'm not inferior to you. No. Just believe it and go your way. If you're a gutter digger, believe it, go back to digging gutters tomorrow. Are you getting my point? No matter how low your job is, just believe it and go back there tomorrow. That faith in your spirit, you are getting my point? When the thing is pumped, you know, it's like it's pumping air into you. You'll soon begin to rise. What's the summary? That's what Jesus died for. He came to ensure that you don't have to go to America to prosper. He said, I should tell you, you don't have to go anywhere to make it in life. Nigeria, Burundi, Cameroon. And if you go to Yugoslavia, wherever it is, wherever you are in life, you will prosper there. That's what Jesus died for. You've heard my story again and again. Those are people who want to die because they want to go to America. Me? I said, no, I will never queue for anybody because I'm begging to go somewhere. I said that word, you know, I've given the testimony. The day I was now going for a course in the U.S., of course, I had to go to the embassy. When I got there, by that time, they restructured things. I went to the embassy in Abuja. They gave a few people a particular time. Now, we're not more than 15 or maybe maximum of 20. As typical of me, I strolled in. So I was going to be at the back of the queue. You know, that kind of thing. You know, God wanted to confirm a word, which I said, I'm not queuing for anybody. Now, even if I had queued for that short length, it wouldn't have been a problem. But I believe God said, no, you won't even queue at all. So I got there. When it was time, of course, people just moved towards the gate. I moved. I noticed people were talking about something. What's going on? They said, have you paid the visa fees? I said, no. They said you could come with money. And I came with a $100 note. You know, I had cash. They said, no, they don't accept it again. No. So I walked up there and said, please, so clarify this for me. One of the staff said, no, you have to go to the bank to go and pay UBA. Uh-oh. Which UBA? They described the place for me. I just came out, took a taxi. Take me to UBA. So I went to UBA, paid. Right? And you had a short time. By the time I came back, this is the point, there was nobody on the queue. Do you follow what I'm saying? I just got there, found out that there was next to nobody. There was one woman that was just signing the paper and passing it. And I walked in, showed the person my papers, and I walked in. That it might be fulfilled, the word which I spoke years before, that I'm not queuing for anybody. God said, no, you are not queuing today. That's the story I told you. God said, there's no money in your account. I told the woman, what is it supposed to be doing there? You asked whether it was a salary account. And I said, yes. That means I earn the money and I spend it. The woman looked at a new Nigerian has come. That is this one. Said, I know that. And no, listen, before I left my hotel room that morning, it dawned on me that I had not even prayed to God about it. That was when I landed beside the bed, my bed. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, just for the record, I actually like to go for this course. It was a one-month-long course. I said, I really want to go. I'm serious. It was the first time I prayed about it. What am I going to explain to you? I understood long before. You can prosper anywhere. I'm saying it to you again today. You can prosper anywhere. The place people are running to for prosperity, let me give you your own word. You will go there to go and spend money. One day I was talking to my mother-in-law, you know, we were talking about something. She made a statement which I never forgot. One man traveled abroad, you know, gathered money, came back home, then 490, problem, everything, collected the whole money from him. And the guy is a professional. I won't tell you his profession. So when we were just, you know, it was now just, hey, look at the calamity that befell this man. My mother-in-law said something. He said, wait, oh, is it not the same dollar? Now, listen to this. He said, is it not this dollar that we collect naira and used to buy? And we go there and go and spend it. Why do people want to die for it? Now, are you getting what I'm saying? That look, like Bishop Oyedepo said, what's the value of the dollar? He said, it doesn't matter. Just have enough naira. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now listen, you will not go and struggle and die for something. Look, listen. Let me give you a word again. Where people go to go and struggle to earn money, you will go there to go and spend money.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
You will not lack.
Amen.
Listen, I don't care where you are coming from or where you are right now. That is the word of God. This is summary. That's why Jesus died. Listen, it's a matter of fact that before, the white man was superior to the black man. Is a matter of fact. That is why everything that's like progress in this world, 99% of them, na them do them. It was their doing. But that was then. What did I say?
That was then.
What did I say?
That was then.
What did I say?
That was then.
Now, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. The issue is, are you calling upon God? Or you are calling upon visa, immigration? You are calling upon the opportunity to travel. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. If you call upon God from anywhere, it will make you succeed. It will make you prosper. I hope you hear what I said.
Yes,
I think somebody needed to hear that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.
All
now let's get back to what we're saying. So, now, I just took that detour again, just to explain again some of the things that Jesus did for us. Now, let's not get back to the main thing that we're saying. I said she opened somewhere, right? Philippians chapter 2, yes. We are continuing the thing we're reading from that, Isaiah chapter 53. Let's read that one from Philippians chapter 2. Remember in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, we saw that therefore. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, just keep a hand there or keep something there. And then we'll refer to it in a moment.
Now we're going to read now from the book of Isaiah, Philippians chapter 2, just to continue that thing. It said from verse, let me rush from verse 1, where I'm going is far down. It said, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship, if any affection, verse 2 says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind and maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. It now said, do nothing from selfishness. Now, let's slow down now. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself. Now, we can slow down properly now. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men. He said, being found in appearance as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, he said, therefore, we read that a number of times. In this verse 9 of chapter 2, Philippians, he said, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. God bestowed upon him. It was God's reward, all right, for him. He bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Please, notice this. Just like we said earlier from the book of Isaiah 53, notice it. Because of the things that he did, exactly the same thing that Paul was talking about here. In Isaiah said, therefore, God was speaking, I will allot him a portion with the great because he poured himself to death. Here, Paul was now explaining that. He said, for this reason, because he did those same things that Isaiah talked about, God bestowed, he highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Now, I want you to understand something here. Everything that Jesus did, there was a reward. Now, that's what I want you to understand. There was a reward. That is, in life, you know, God said it like this. He said, I have not asked the children of Israel to serve me for nothing, but I promised them a reward. Now, please understand this. I said before, we love God and we are obedient to his word, to his will. We don't do things for what we are going to get. I said that before. But I also said, everything that is done has a reward attached to it. For example, we talked about giving to the prophet, to the work of the ministry and all of that. I said, God said, there is what he called a prophet's reward. Do you understand my point? Now, if you give water to the one who is thirsty, there is a reward attached. But we just said as Christians, if you do, because God said, I search the heart. If you are doing things primarily because of what you are going to get, then you are going to lose that reward. But if you do those things because it is the will of God, there is a reward attached. That's the principle of life. All right? Now, that also applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he did had a reward attached to it. And because he humbled himself. Now, you know, there's a story I just want to tell. It's very interesting. There's one cartoon my children were watching in the house once. All right? It's a story of Hercules. Now, it's very funny. Now, listen to this. I don't know whether it happened like this, but you know when I see those things, when there are spiritual principles in them, I bring them out. And somebody kidnapped him after he was born. He was born a god, you know what I mean? One of those gods, those Greek gods. So the devil, or whatever his name was in that myth, the story, the myth, they kidnapped him, wanted to kill him. So they first had to make him mortal before they could kill him. But before they could finish making him mortal, somebody found them. They had to run away. Those guys who kidnapped him, brought him to the earth. Anyway, now became a human being. So, but he was particularly strong and different from other people. Let's make a long story short. As a grown boy, he now went to the temple of Zeus or whoever his god was to go and find out what happened.
Anyway, he knew his history, so he now needed to rejoin the gods. Now, that's the early justice. He wanted to rejoin the gods, but he was mortal. So how will he rejoin the gods? They now told him that he had to do a deed that's worthy of being a god. So fine. He was a very strong fellow. So he went around doing deeds. You know what I mean? Doing deeds. He was a champion. He fought dragons. He fought all kinds of beasts. He defeated all of them. He fought the most terrible beasts. And he won. Everybody loved him. He was the hero. And one day he came back and told the big, Zeus, that, listen, this is the day. I've been waiting for this day. So that fellow now asked, which day is that? He said, the day I rejoined the gods. He said, what have you done to merit? He said, no. Everybody, my name is on everybody's mouth. He described all the deeds he had done, you know, like a Pentecostal. You know, I built churches. You understand my point? I have never missed fighting the last 17 years. You know, look at it. I've sent 75 people to university. Look at now people I'm helping. Anyway, his father, that's in that film, Zeus, said that, well, all these things don't qualify you. So the guy went back and he was dejected. Let's make a long story short. Now, there was one girl he was in love with. And Satan now came, carried the girl, and killed him. Killed her. All right, I think she was trying to save him or something. She now died. And took her spirit down to Hades. So he now went to go and look for the girl there. And he saw a lot of dead people in the, let's assume, in hellfire, something like that. He was not negotiating with the keeper of the realm of death. Okay, let's make a deal. I go in here, and the girl goes back to life. So if you go here, you're not going to come out. He said, no problem. Going once, going twice. The guy was calculating. He said, look, the deal is just for a few seconds or that kind of thing. So the devil said, okay, fine, okay. So he jumped into that pool of whatever it is where the dead people were, and he was not supposed to be dead. He now carried the girl and sent her back out. He was willing to stay in there. Except for one thing, he came out and he was shining all over. And so that keeper of the realm of death said, no, nobody can do that except he's a god. Are you getting the point? That is when he did the deed that turned him back into being a god, he was not even trying to be one. When I watched that, I said, this is true Christianity, though nah mythology. Nah children's film, actually. I said, but this is true Christianity. All the while, he was aspiring to be something great. He had a measure of greatness on the earth, but didn't turn him into what he wanted to be. Then when he forgot himself, Paul said it like this. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, that was the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. When he did what he did, now, remember that story I just told? The big God there, I think it's Zeus, they called him, conferred godhood upon him without him asking for it at that point. Now, these are spiritual principles. Though they manifest in different areas of life, different would tell you different stories about them. But these are established spiritual principles. When Jesus did what he did, existing, you know, if a man, I told you, if he was suffering and he suffers some more, that's good. That's not good. I mean, like, he had made some sacrifice. Amen? He has made some sacrifice. But when somebody existed in the form of God, are you getting me? And then he came down and was obedient to the point of death. There is no greater sacrifice than that one. So what God did was simple. He now conferred upon him the greatest reward that he ever prepared in the whole of creation. Do you get the point I'm making? The sacrifice of Jesus was not without reward. But that's not the high point. The sacrifice of Jesus was not without reward. When he did everything he didn't work for it. That did not in itself, the fact that he died did not make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No. It was that when God looked and said, he died for these people. He did all of this. he now conferred upon him, which is what Paul was teaching us here. Therefore, God, he said, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name, the name that which is above every name. Listen to this. That name existed beforehand. That is, was something that was prepared, but nobody was qualified for it. When John was seeing that vision in Revelations, there was something he said which is very, very instructive. He said there was a book. We'll see it later. I don't know. We've read it before. But I just want to bring out some issues from there. Now, in that Revelation chapter 5, we read it before. John saw there was a book that was sealed, and no one was qualified to open it. Are you getting my point? Yes, somebody had to open it. They searched everywhere, and no one was qualified. But after Jesus shed his blood, after he died for you and died for me, God conferred upon him the right to open that book. I'm going somewhere. Please, just follow me very closely. Beyond the fact, this is very interesting. Beyond the fact that he died to free you for your sins, he now got a reward for himself. Are you getting my point? That thing is called sitting on the right hand of God. That thing is called having a name that is above every other name. That reward is called, at the mention of this name, every knee will bow. Every demon will bow. Everything will bow. So the question is that, what is he doing with it? Now, this is actually the high point. Washing you of your sins only means you are no longer a sinner. That's all now. Doesn't make you superior to anybody. It just means that the devil will leave you alone. Go your way, I go my way. It just means the devil cannot hold you by force. It does not give you the power to drive the devil out from anywhere. Who is the person that had the power? Jesus Christ. Why? Because God conferred upon him a name. At the mention of that name, every knee must bow. Let me summarize it like this. After he got that reward, this is the interesting part. He took it again, turned around to the same people he died for, and said, take, you can have it. And that is why you find that Paul always said it like this. I want to be found in him. Listen, that is very different from being washed. Please get that point. It is different from being washed. It is different from being saved. To have authority conferred upon you is a different matter. The point about this is that Jesus did all of that and authority was conferred upon him. Then he turned around, looked at the same people that he died for so as to save them from their sins. He said, now I'm not going to just save you from your sins. I'm now going to take you up to the same level where God has taken me because of my sacrifice. Listen, when he died, God raised him up from the dead as a reward for that sacrifice. The death was not negotiable. I will die for 3 days, you wake me up. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The death was a total death. It was a total death. It was what? A total death. The resurrection was a reward. The resurrection was that God looked, and because the Father has life in himself, and he can give life to anybody that he so desires, he conferred life upon him again, and Peter said it like this, it was now no longer possible for death to hold him in his powers. Therefore, he rose again from the dead. And then he ascended on high and sat on the right hand of majesty. I like the way he said it in Psalm 110. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. Please, I'm going somewhere. Why did he do all of that? Jesus was not going to gain anything from it, because listen to this. If he existed in the form of God, what is he doing with this one now? Why do I have to go through all of this to get this? I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. I'll tell you. Because that was the only way he could now give that to you and give it to me. I pray you understand. That is right now. Let's get back to it. That is why I don't understand when Christians will sit down and be discussing that witches are disturbing them. It is not possible. Because Jesus has a name that is above every name. And he gave that name to whosoever will believe in him. Open to the book of Ephesians. We have to read this. Oh, please, you must understand this. That is actually the high point. What you find Paul talk about again and again is that word. You see him use the word in him. He said that, we read that a lot in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me just, there's a lot to read. Let's start from verse 18. Paul was praying here, but let's see the thing he was praying about. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, in the saints? What is the surpassing greatness of his power? That's verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? He said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him. Please, you must put comma here in a way that will make you understand. Put comma after him and put comma after things. And he gave him comma as head of all things, comma, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, please, I need to explain that properly. The Bible says here that God, just like we read from Philippians, did this with Jesus Christ. He raised him from the dead. And he seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, all Boko Harams, are you getting my point? All witches, all ancestral curses, all demons that try to chase people around and lay claim to their destiny. You are following that? That's what he did. Then after doing that, he now turned around and gave him to the church. Please, I pray you connect this. And while he was giving him to the church, he gave him to the church as head of all things. Now, listen to this. That is, Jesus being head of all things belongs to the church. And that the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is, somebody, I don't, because of time, I don't want to go to the translation where I read that one. He was explaining the fact that the church is the full expression, that is, without the church, Jesus is not complete in expression. Please, I'm going somewhere. That is, when Jesus gained everything he gained, what happened was that they took him again. Everything he gained was handed over to his church. Which means, therefore, anybody who understands and believes in Jesus Christ is seated. Now, Jesus didn't sit at the right hand of God feeling very pife, like my friend would say, with himself. I'm higher than all of you. No. He said, this whole sitting arrangement is so that I can make everybody else who believes sit in the same way and in the same manner. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I will try and decode it further. I know this is a bit, even me, I only partly understand it. But let me try and bring out some practical sides of it. You know, we cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that name, Jesus Christ, let me start talking about that now. It will help me explain it. I'll finish it next time. I plan to talk about that next time. When we say we are doing anything in the name of Jesus, what that simply means is this. Like now, I come to God and I say, I need a wife. In Jesus' name, I prayed. What that simply means is this. I have not come because I have done anything to deserve it. I have not come because I know how to choose. I have not come because I know how to investigate the family history. Is there any accursed person in their family? Was a great-grandfather an Obanje spirit? Were they trading in slaves? Which that's very common one. That's another lie in Christianity of today. Listen, there's nobody here who doesn't have one troublemaker in his ancestry. Nobody here. Are you getting my point? So if you want to investigate, eventually we'll find out the Jaguda, that's your great-grandfather. You hear what I said? Yes, it's true now. He said, let me go and check whether there's any mental illness in there. There's nobody here. Did you hear what I said? There's none. What did I say? That your neighbor, you get. So forget all this stupid investigation that people do. It's only when problem has not jammed your ancestors enough, now they will not manifest. Now we point to somebody who, because of problems, when the village, when the, a whole village pursue you, something will go wrong with you too. Anyway, I'm digressing again. You know, people, when Christians want to pray, they come and investigate which village did she come from. Did they drive their grandfather out of the village because he was owing money? Tell them, all the debts the grandfather owed, Jesus paid it. Are you getting my point? Listen, don't do things that will make God vex for you. Tell your neighbor, may God not vex for you. It's a valid prayer point too. And it's like insulting the name of Jesus Christ. You know, some people, oh God, I've digressed now. But these, my digressions are good. I will digress. I know you want me to digress. No, some people, they'll be doing things that God, you'll be looking at them. And I said, don't worry. Be sowing your seeds. These are the real seeds, though. Will not take money to church. I want to show this money towards a good wife. That's not money. Listen to me. I know some people don't like to. You know why some people, they vex, eh? They don't sow. I don't spoil the seed. So they are angry with me. Their investment is over $1 million. Now I'm telling them it won't work. Yes, it will not work. Bad business. Yes, you've done bad business. You can't take money to church and sow it as a seed for a good wife when you have a bad mind. The real seed for the good wife is faith. What did I call it?
Faith.
It is what you believe. No, we started today by saying, what do you what? Believe. There are men who go around saying that, they are not good. They are not good girls these days. And they are looking for a wife. It's called double-mindedness. No, you get up in the morning. Say, all the food in Nigeria is bad. Once you eat it, you are going to have diarrhea and die. And you are eating. What does that mean? Something's wrong with you. That's all it means. How can you be eating food and confessing that all the food in this country is bad? You will soon have diarrhea and die. And it won't be anybody's fault. It is to you according to what? Your faith. So you see, guys go around and say, there are no good girls these days. Just tell the fellow, just don't bother marrying. Because anyone you marry will be a Jezebel. Why? You said with your own mouth that there are no good girls these days. And be it unto you according to your faith. If you are believing God for a good wife, you must be a good man yourself. That is the seed you are sowing. So please, forget this money seed. I've told you, if you want to give, what do you do? Give. Stop tying rope to this money matter. Please, I hope nobody has given me a gift here with rope tied to it. If you give me something, just know it's because you love me. Say, Pastor, I like the way your face is shining. Let it shine some more. It is acceptable. Don't sow any wicked seed into my life. I'm not agricultural sort. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you want to give, what do? Give. If you need something, what do you do?
Ask.
What do you do when you need something?
Ask.
You ask in faith. Remember we said, ask in what? Faith. Don't go to God and say, God, there are no good girls again. What are we going to do? Not allowed. What did I say?
Not allowed.
Say, Father, I thank you. Even though many have followed Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, there are still 7,000 women you have kept in caves in the name of Jesus Christ. They are there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now let me get back to my message. That's my digression long. I hope it helped you. Are you single? Say yes now. Why are you pretending? You're pretending. Francis, you are pretending. Are you married? Anybody who's here is not married, it helped you. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. The guys especially. Talk to the women next time. All right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anyway, so let's get back to our praying. So we'll come to pray. For example, God wants a wife. And we are praying in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. We are not praying because we know how to choose. No. We are not asking God because we have sown the enough seeds. That's why I just digressed into that. We are not asking God because we know how to investigate. We are asking God because we know that Jesus died and God rewarded him. Now listen to this. One, he washed away my sins because of his death. And God rewarded him with good things. You know, we said last time that the promises, they became effective after the death of the testator. Are you getting my point? One thing I didn't mention again is that actually those promises became the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, they are his. He bought them. Or more like, God gave them to him as a reward for his sacrifice. The Bible says he will divide the booty with the strong. That is, these are the labor, these are the rewards of war. Having conquered in a spiritual battle, these are the spoils that God gave to him, every promise of God. Now, so when I'm praying, I'm saying to God, I want this because Jesus has already acquired them and I am to be found in him. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. It means that even though I don't come from it, you know, some fathers will tell you that, which family is he from? I'm sure you've encountered things like that. You understand? He said, for you, it doesn't matter as you are praying. He said, God, I know I am from the family of God. I know that my Father is God in heaven, and I'm more qualified than anybody else because of that. And in case, listen to this, peradventure, I actually have an earthly name to brag on. I refuse it when I say I pray in the name of Jesus. I hope you follow what I'm saying. Once you utter, I am asking you in the name of Jesus. What you are saying is that all my disadvantages don't matter. And all my advantages also don't matter. That, listen, God, I have money, plenty of it, but give me the grace not to use it to impress anybody. In fact, the girl that God leads to me is the one I won't give anything first. Yes. That it has to be by grace, that it might be in accordance with faith. No, sorry. That it has to be by faith, sorry. That it might be in accordance with grace. I switched it there. That is, it's the power of God. Men, you win. Listen, woman, no, let me talk to women. Women, you have to be won by words, not appearances. Do you hear what I said? What I mean is this. If a man is very rich, before you cough, he don't buy cough medicine. You know what I say? That is, if this my ring, it's, he don't buy a new gold one. Hey, as I was crossing the road today, my shoe, he don't buy a new one. Don't marry him because of that. What did I say? No, say it. What did I say? You are not for sale. Are you getting my point? Yes. Why should you go and listen to my message? How to find true love? All right, you understand? Let somebody talk. Hear what he's saying. Believe his gospel. Make sure you can walk with him. That's all. That's why a lot of women have problems. You think it is because the man has money to satisfy you. Money, after you've spent it for 1 year, you realize that money and poverty are the same. You will soon find out. Nobody's trying to win you material things. Let the man talk. Hear what he's saying. Decide whether by virtue, because you will know whether he's deceiving himself. Then, in fact, the kind of talk we are talking, you can't lie about them. It's something that comes from inside your stomach. I'm not talking about, you know, the other day my father was flying across Switzerland and then, no, that's nonsense talk. Whether it's true or not, it's not what we're talking about. When a man is just talking from the bottom of his soul about his visions of life, his understanding of things that are going on, you will know whether you can work with him or you can't. That's what wins a woman. You are getting the point I'm trying to make here. That's what wins a woman. Now, this is the point. So, when we come praying, when we say is in the name of Jesus, what we are saying that all our advantages, if we have money, it's not an advantage. If we don't have, it's not a disadvantage. The only thing we have are the things that Jesus procured for us by the shedding of his blood and by the reward that the Father conferred upon him, which is now legitimately our own. Why? Because he was given, this head of all things, he was given to the church. You must understand, that's what he was saying. That everything that he acquired, everything that God gave to him, it was now given in him to the church. So it means, therefore, if I want to pray about a problem in life, I pray with an attitude that I am seated in heavenly places. Do you understand what I'm saying? Far above principalities and powers. Not just the fact that Satan cannot hold me because I'm no longer a sinner, but that in actual fact, now, you see, that's why I have never sat up to pray about Satan, witches, or wizards. Because I was taught early in my Christianity that as a believer in Christ Jesus, I am seated in heavenly places on the right hand of God with Jesus Christ, and he is seated, we read here, far above principalities and powers and every name that is named. Now, listen. You mentioned the name of Jesus is supposed to cast out demons. True of us? True of us? Do you know why those people shouted the sons of Sceva? He said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the demons said, what are you talking about? Paul, I know. Jesus, you know, that is literally, Jesus I'm personally acquainted with. Paul, I have heard about. But who are you? Now, let me say this, get it clear. Please understand this. I pray you understand it properly. When we pray in the name of Jesus, I said to you, we are saying that these are the things that God has done for us. And that's the premise upon which we come. What we are saying also is that, please get me clearly. In fact, let me prove it before I say it. Jesus said that, now I'm telling you to disciples, you will come to the Father and ask. I'm not telling you that I will ask for you. I am saying the Father himself loves you. Now listen to this. Whether you shout the name of Jesus or not, a true believer, his presence is scary to demons. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm not in any way trying to demean the name Jesus. I'm trying to say that even if I don't shout in the name of Jesus, if it's something I don't have to shout to the devil when it has to be my affair. No. That Satan come, stand there, say, oh boy, I'll be your mate. Say, no, sir. No, do you understand my point? You must understand, I'm not confessing word for Satan. Most of the time you confess word is for yourself. The truth is that the very standing, the presence of you as a Christian is scary to him. Why? Because the name, that position that Jesus, do you understand my point? Occupies. He doesn't occupy for himself. Any one of the people who believe in him, who understand their faith in him, when heavens look at the person, they see the person in that same position. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. That is, if you are of faith, you are seated on the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers. I don't know. No, open your Bible back to where we were just now. He said it there. He said, chapter 1, verse 20. He said, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Now go down to chapter 2. Now see verse 5. Let me start from verse 4. It said, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Please, I hope you are getting that. That is, he seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know I said something from the beginning? I said, just believe it. What did I say? When Jesus was conferred with everything he was conferred with, what he simply did was to turn around and hand it over to his church. That was why the Bible says that he was given, him that was head of all things, to the church. Let me tell you the truth. The church is not being what it's supposed to be. That is what the problem is. They don't recognize it. And I keep on telling you, when there's political crisis, can we start talking? And they start issuing political statements. People say that it's important Christians must come together and unite and fight these people. Who are these people? And what they are called unity in Christianity is nothing but foolishness. That is, unbelievers and believers should gather together just because they are both hereditarily in the same church. They don't believe, oh, you now say we are united. And we now face who? I still don't understand who we are supposed to face. Anytime they come with that, me, I always tell my friends, I don't believe. True Christians, you know, if something truly, I pray that God will open our eyes. When things truly displease Christians, and you must understand, they don't judge with the hearing of their ears and the seeing of their eyes. They judge with righteous judgment. Please, follow what I'm saying. They go inside. That's what the Bible calls the decree of the watchers. They are seated above rule and authority. Let me tell you, the truth is that most Christians, what those you call Christians today, I've said it again and again, 50% at least, minimum, in Pentecostal churches, they are not believers. They just go to church because it's a normal southern habit in Nigeria. When they are true Christians, even those who have really given their lives to Christ, they don't even understand, they are still trying to get from God by giving to Him first. Those are not people that are seated, who understand that they are seated. Those who are really seated, let me tell you the truth, they change governments. And I told the story before, the days of MK Abiola, when MK was making noise, I know one brother, he was there. Do you know how popular MK was? A lot of you here were too young at that time. MK Abiola were returning officers. You don't know, I mean, look young, I'm an old man. 93, I was a youth copper. 93. June 12th, Taraba State. I was in Taraba. We were the ones, I didn't go that day because where they posted me was far. So being a doctor, I was just in the clinic. I told them, look, I'm working the clinic, so I didn't go. But my colleagues went. We were youth coppers. MK Abiola won almost everywhere. The man was incredibly popular. He defeated Bashir Tofa in Kano. Bashir Tofa was from Kano. In his own local government. No, get my point. That was what happened to MK Abiola. He was that incredibly popular. Emirs campaigned for him. But some brethren gathered and said, no, he will never rule in this country for what he did in the days of OIC. Babangida was under a spell when he annulled the election. The spell generated by Christians who said, no, you will never rule in this country. You know, God said, because of what this man did that time, therefore, that's what they did to him. They were not in any political party. They were not anywhere. Well, they are a network of people all over the country, here and there. They said, no, not in this country. And the Lord gave the word to, what is his name, Tunde Bakare, and said, because they are related, he said, go and tell my brother he will never be president. Campaign was going on. It was hot. MK was flying all over the country. He said, are there no longer elders in that house? Go and tell that man he will never be president. True believers, they don't make political statements. We Christians have gathered to condemn the bombing in Kano. Who does not know that bombing in Kano is a bad thing? Christians are afraid. Islamic banking, then they start to pee in their trousers. They start making political statements. People who are sitting in heavenly places, they'll say, why do the hidden rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. That's how they talk. You've heard me say my own before. They say, the Muslims are starting schools. Your children will go to those schools. Let them start the schools. Islamic physics and Christian physics is physics. You don't know that? This boy who killed somebody on the streets of London about 3 days ago. I hope you know his name is Michael Adebowale or something like that. Adebolajo, yes. He did not go to an Islamic school. They converted him on the streets of London. The other one is Michael Ade something else. Two of them. They did not go to Islamic schools. They converted them on the streets of London. Tunde Adelaja. Sunday Adelaja. He went to communist schools. The communists tried to indoctrinate him. They did not know that the Spirit of Christ had entered into him a few months before he boarded that flight to go to Ukraine. He's today the pastor of the largest European church. Christians will be trembling. Islam, I said, they can't take anything over. you start a school in Enugu, if I like it, I will let people go there. Yes. Why? Because the Bible says strangers will build my walls. They will nurse my children. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You bring the oil from Saudi Arabia, bring it the money to Nigeria. No problem. Use it to start schools in Enugu here. Well, I will give you land. Aye! Christians should be wise. How big do you want the land to be? Take it. Give them the terms. The schools will be like this. Yes, these are the number of hospitals. Uh-huh. Then you go back inside. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you said you called a bird of prey from the east. And where? East. And the man of your purpose from a distant country. Let them bring money from far, from everywhere. Come and build it. The day they lay foundation stone from the mosque, you go back to your house and say, that will be a church in 15 years. So the man who lays that foundation stone will preach Christianity. That's how Christians behave. You must have a seated above thinking. Are you getting my point? Yes. Don't be scared. You see, people just be throwing tantrums. I mean, a man says, look, and listen, this is my opinion. A man says, I want an Islamic bank because my religion does not allow me to charge interest. What is wrong with it? Don't you have traditional medicine for those who don't want to go to hospital? What's wrong with it? I don't know why Christians just throw tantrums because they are afraid. They are scared. I was one man who said it publicly, everybody wanted to hear. I said, there's no reason why. In fact, they were the ones that made a mistake shouting Islamic bank. You should have just said, look, non-interest banking, and leave the word there. And they bring non-interest bank to Enugu. Better go there and go and open an account. Oh. That's my own personal counsel. Go and open an account. When they are bringing money from Kuwait, collect your portion. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me close, please. Maybe next time I'll develop it further. But the summary of what I've said today is this. It's simple. Now listen. Jesus died and God rewarded him for his labors. And he turned around and took those same rewards and turned around and blessed you with them. Part of the reward is that he's seated in a place in spiritual realms. And he said, okay, you, come and sit on the seat that I'm supposed to be occupying. Let us sit there together. Are you getting the point? That is, don't be afraid. You are not under. You are literally above. That you are above rule and authority. We'll talk about it next time. How Christians, the problem in the world today is that Christians are not being Christians. Most of those who go to church are really not Christians. And some are so confused, they are going to places that, because they are looking for miracles. A Christian doesn't go around running about looking for miracles. You must have a seated mentality. When you are making your prayers, your requests, listen, it's not like you don't, when you enter into a house, it's not in Jesus' name, all demons leave this house. It is in Jesus' name I have come to this house. I sit down there. The demons that want to go to hellfire faster than the others should please remain around. Listen, those who are seated above, let me summarize that they are seated. What did I say? Yes. Let's leave it there.